Amen. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, go with me today to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. How many of you really enjoy a good trip to the grocery store? To be honest, it's not my favorite thing in the world to do. My philosophy is I'm going to get in and get out as quickly as possible. And guys, I don't know about you, but I cram those plastic bags as full as I can get them. And when I get home, I am making one and only one trip from the car into the kitchen. Believe it or not, I have carried over 30 grocery bags to the car from the car at one time. Not long ago, I was doing that very thing, and one of those stinking bags ripped open, and the contents of the bag went all over the kitchen floor, glass jars, pickles and olives everywhere. It was like a Mediterranean restaurant on my floor. I almost cried. Number one, that single bag of groceries cost me my left kidney, and I only have one of those left. Number two, if there's anything I hate worse than shopping, it's cleaning. Third, now I had to go back to the grocery store and get all that stuff that I had dropped. You know, when the bottom falls out of a grocery bag, you shrug it off, and clean it up. But what do you do when the bottom falls out of your life? A soldier comes back from war with PTSD. Not long thereafter, he suffers a stroke that leaves him disabled for over a year. He was already dealing with some major problems in his marriage, and as soon as his wife thinks he's healthy enough, she leaves him. Broken body, broken mind, broken heart. A man takes a second job cutting down trees to make ends meet for his family. One day a branch gives way and he falls and breaks his back. As he's recovering, he discovers that his primary business has gone out of business and his employer has not been paying his medical insurance, leaving him with no job, six-figure medical debt, and the prospect of finding a brand new profession while learning to walk again. Both are true stories of men who are worshiping with you today. You live long enough, and at some point, the bottom will fall out of your life. It certainly did for Daniel. Now, when we were last with him, things were looking up. Yes, he had lost his homeland and his family, his dreams for a family of his own. But by God's grace, he had survived 3 years in Babylon University, was given a high-profile job in the king's court. After all the difficulties and trials he had been through so early in life, it must have felt good to have a little success. Any human being in a similar situation would think, maybe I've gotten through the worst of the storm and things will be smooth sailing from here on out. All of that changes in Daniel chapter 2. His boss, King Nebuchadnezzar, starts having nightmares. When his advisors can't make sense of the dreams, he commands for all of them to be killed. The problem is Daniel is one of those advisors. He has already survived imprisonment, captivity, invasion, and castration, and now the bottom is falling out of young Daniel's life again. Life knocked him down. He got back up. Now he's knocked down all over again. What I love about Daniel in this passage is that he refuses to give in to despair or hopelessness. He does not grow angry or bitter at those who are threatening his life. He doesn't blame God and leave the faith. Now, those are real temptations anytime the bottom falls out of your life. But instead, Daniel responds with faith and confidence in God. And his responses reveal some incredible resources that are available to you when the bottom falls out of your life. So let's look at Daniel chapter 2. We'll begin our reading this morning in verse 1. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, The thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream, with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if ye show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and reward and great honor. Therefore show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of certainty that ye would gain the time, because ye see the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me, till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know ye can show me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer of Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth. And there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. And we'll stop there for now. Daniel shows us in this passage three ways to be faithful when the bottom falls out. Respond in fervent prayer, respond in faithful praise, respond in fearless proclamation. We'll cover the first two this week, we'll cover the last one next week, and we'll talk much more about the prophecy and the interpretation of the dream next Sunday. So when the bottom fell out of Daniel's life, I notice in the first place, he responded with fervent prayer. Now, if you know his story, you know this is just the first time the bottom is going to fall out of Daniel's life. And every time it happens in this book, whether it's him or his three friends, they always respond immediately with prayer. Amen. And Daniel shows us that when the bottom falls out of our lives, the most proactive thing we can do is pray. Amen. He's going to teach us four things about praying in a time of crisis. And if you're in a time of crisis, you need to make note of these four things. First of all, Daniel prayed first. It was not his last resort. It was his first response to trouble. Now, there's really a contrast between the way Daniel handles all of this and the way that the rest of the players in the drama handle it. Again, it all starts when Nebuchadnezzar has a nightmare. Now, folks, that should be kind of funny to you because Nebuchadnezzar was not some Barney Fife kind of guy who was afraid of his own shadow. This is not a 5-year-old boy who runs into his mother's room because he's had a bad dream. History tells us that Nebuchadnezzar is one of the most fearless and ruthless men in the ancient world. He and the Babylonian Empire had conquered civilizations, one of the most bloodthirsty men who ever lived. Nebuchadnezzar is as tough as they come, but what he sees in his dream, the Bible says, deeply troubles him so much that he can't sleep. So what he does is he turns to the guys who are supposed to specialize in these kind of situations. He calls in his magicians and his astrologers. I don't know if the Miss Cleo hotline was available back then, but he would have dialed it if it was. He says, guys, I've had a dream. It's troubling me. The guys butter him up real good. O king, live forever. Tell us what the dream was and we'll tell you what it means. He says, I'm not telling you what the dream was. If you really have some kind of supernatural power, you'll be able to tell me what the dream was and what it means. They say, that's a tough one. We've never heard that one before. I'll tell you what, king, you tell us what the dream was and we'll tell you what it means. Their plan, and Nebuchadnezzar figures it out, was to open up their horoscope book and to get out their tarot cards. And just to throw something out against the wall and hope it stuck long enough for the king to move on to something else. And he sees right through it. When he finally says, I'm insistent about this thing and do it now, their response in verses 10 through 12 is insightful. I won't read it. But it basically says, no living man can do what you've asked us to do. Only God can reveal this. Well, the king was irate. He paid these guys to have supernatural solutions to supernatural problems, but for all of their religion and education, they were little more than observers of the natural. They had no real connection to God and no knowledge of the supernatural. He says, I don't need you guys. You might as well just die. On 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul told us that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are spiritual, they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Listen to this. When it comes to the things of God, when it comes to getting a message from heaven, this world has no clue how to make a connection. Graham Scroggie was an author that I loved in college. And in his day, the creation and evolution debate was raging. And he has a great quote about the altercation between Nebuchadnezzar and his phony wise men. He says, oh, the sin and folly of pretension. The emphasis is not to be put on Nebuchadnezzar's wrath and cruelty, but on that which occasioned it. These sons of the colleges were trained and paid to interpret mysteries. And it's reasonable to assume that the means whereby they could know the interpretation of the dream might also be employed to discover the dream itself. The fact is, they were frauds. The four Hebrews studied astrology to understand it, not to believe it. Just as today, the theological student may study evolution to understand it, but not to believe it. Daniel 2:10 shows in one single sentence that all the astrology and necromancy and oracles and dreams and mantic revelations of the whole pagan world for 6,000 years are nothing but imbecilities and lies. And it proves that all the God-inspired prophets and an all-glorious Christ, that all the powers of men apart from God-inspired prophets and an all-glorious Christ are nothing but emptiness and vanity as regards any true and adequate knowledge of the purpose and will of God. Amen. And when our day we're told that the educated elite and scientists and professors hold the answers to all of life's problems, that's where you go when the bottom falls out. But ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to the things that really matter, when it comes to getting a word from heaven, the experts in our culture are just as clueless today as the experts were in Babylon. They can tell us how to build a house that'll last hundreds of years, but they have no idea how to build a home, do they? They've unlocked the secrets of genetic coding and quantum physics, but they're clueless about how to set a man free from his guilt or to give him peace of mind when he's going through the storms of life. The secular experts of our day with walls full of PhDs have not even graduated from kindergarten when it comes to the things of God. And they really don't have much to say when the bottom falls out of your life. Christians, I wonder if the reason why so many of us are falling apart when the bottom falls out is because we're looking to the wisdom of this world, all the while ignoring the real answers that are be found in this book and through prayer. We would expect the pagan king to turn to the world. We should not expect that from God's children. Amen. Folks, we have better answers than that. Where did Daniel turn first? To prayer. It's interesting. The Bible says Daniel was 10 times wiser than all of the other magicians and sorcerers and advisors. But when he got home, he and his three friends didn't sit around and strategize how to figure out this problem in their own wisdom. Daniel had some degrees hanging on the wall, but he didn't go home and consult his textbooks or ask his professors. Daniel had a high position in the government, but he didn't press the flesh. He didn't try to find a political solution. Now, folks, you may have to do some of those things after you've prayed, but Daniel proves you shouldn't do any of those things until you've prayed. Amen. You see, when a crisis comes into our lives, where we turn first shows where our faith really lies. There's no truer indicator of where your faith really lies than where you go first when crisis comes. It shows where we're really trusting, what we're hoping will get us through the trial. And when you pray first, before you consult the experts, before you search the books, before you try to figure it out on your own, when you pray first, you're saying to God, you're the first priority in my life, and I'm trusting you to get me through this trial. Prayer should never be a Christian's last resort. It ought to be our first response. Daniel prayed first. I notice this, Daniel prayed in a faith. When Arioch, the captain of the host, came with a sword in one hand and the king's decree in another hand, it looked like it was all over for Daniel and his friends. He said, now Arioch, the king's being awful hasty about this thing. Let me go in and talk to the king. So Daniel does that. And again, Nebuchadnezzar is real happy with these guys right now. So that took an awful lot of courage on Daniel's part. He goes in and says, king, you give me a little bit of time. I'll tell you exactly what the dream means. Now, time out, folks. That takes faith in God. Because there was no natural solution to this problem. There was no human way for Daniel and his friends to go home and figure out the dream that the king had and what the dream meant. Daniel knew, though, that he had a solution higher than a natural solution. He had access to a supernatural solution. And he believed that when he and his three friends hit their knees in prayer, that God would answer prayer. He prayed in faith. I think Daniel would have agreed with what A.W. Tozer once said about prayer. Whatever God can do, faith can do. And whatever faith can do, prayer can do when it is offered in faith. An invitation to prayer is therefore an invitation to omnipotence. For prayer engages the omnipotent God and brings him into our human affairs. Whatever God can do, faith can do. And whatever faith can do, believing prayer can do. Let me ask you today, do you have any human affairs that need the touch of an omnipotent God? I don't know about you, but I do. Believing prayer is how we get heaven involved on earth. And when the bottom falls out of your life, you need the faith to believe that God can put it back together again. Amen. You need at least enough faith to ask. And Daniel had it. So he prayed fervently. He prayed in faith. When crisis comes, pray in fellowship. Look again at verse 17, if you would. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven. I like this. Daniel had some friends, some companions. The word companion here comes from a root word that means tied in a knot, joined together. The hearts of these four friends were tied in a knot with each other. They were joined together in friendship. And thank God for godly friends. It's a wonderful thing when God has joined two hearts together in marriage and that knot is tight. It's a wonderful thing in life when God gives you some close friends and you feel like your souls are all wrapped up with one of another. I tell you what, I don't know of a better way to tighten the knot than to pray. There are few fellowships on this earth that get any closer than those that are tied together with the strings of prayer. When the bottom falls out, you need some friends who know how to get a hold of God. You need praying friends. When the bottom falls out of your life, you don't just hold it in and you don't just bottle it up. You share your burdens with people who know the Lord and know how to get through with God. You hit your knees with them. You go to God together. You pray together. This is what Christian people do when crisis comes. Amen. It's interesting. We like to complain to people about our problems, don't we? That's usually what we do first. Let's be honest. We like to gossip to people about those who caused our problems. But it would do us so much more good to gather the people to whom we would complain or the people to whom we would gossip and that we would pray with those people instead. Amen. That's what Daniel did. And it's a wonderful, wonderful pattern for you when the bottom falls out of your life. So Daniel prayed fervently. He prayed in faith. He prayed in fellowship. He prayed first. Notice Daniel prayed fervently. Now, we don't know much about the content of their prayers. Verse 18 gives it to us, rather short. They simply asked for mercy from God and that their lives would be spared. That's a pretty simple prayer, isn't it? God, the king wants to kill us. We would rather he didn't. Give us mercy, God. It doesn't take long to say those things, does it? Yet the text indicates that they prayed until wee small hours of the morning, until Daniel received the vision at night. And I don't know the contents of their prayers. My guess is there were a lot of gruntings and groanings. Oh, Lord, help us. Oh, Lord, work. Oh, God, we don't know what to do. We're helpless without you. We need you in this situation. In other words, I think their prayer that night was just simple and sincere and from the heart. Many of you have heard the name John Bunyan. He's one of our Baptist forefathers. He's the author of Pilgrim's Progress. You might not know that Bunyan spent most of his ministry in prison because he refused to take a license for preaching the gospel. It was really taking a stand for religious liberty. While he was in prison, there was no one to financially provide for his wife or his blind child. Talk about the bottom falling out. Bunyan was a man of prayer. In that Bedford jail, he offered many prayers to God. Here's what he said. He said, in prayer, it is better to have heart without words than words without heart. Better to have heart without words than words without heart. The Bible says that the impressive, eloquent prayer of the performing man availeth much. Is that what the Bible says? No. It says the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Amen. Do you want your prayers to avail with God? Do you want heaven to break through in your situation on earth? The Bible says here's how to do it. Get thoroughly right with God and be thoroughly honest with God. Get thoroughly right with God, be a righteous man or a righteous woman, and be thoroughly honest with God, be effectual and be fervent. Now, over the years, I've counseled with people who feel kind of guilty when crisis comes into their lives. And the rationale is like this. I said, Pastor, to be honest, I hadn't been living for God. I haven't really been praying like I know I should. It seems hypocritical for me to start praying now that the bottom has fallen out of my life. Daniel shows us that any time is the right time to pray. He didn't fear to gather his friends for a time of fervent prayer just because the crisis came. I think Daniel knew that crisis is often the instrument that God uses to wake us up and draw us closer to him. Have you experienced that? So if the bottom falls out and you've not prayed much before, go ahead and start now. If crisis came and prayer was not your first response, make it your next response. When the bottom fell out for Daniel, Daniel fell to his knees. And when the bottom falls out of your life, you can fall on God in prayer. Fervent prayer is your greatest resource when crisis comes to your life. What do? We get on our knees and we go to God and we pray. He responded in fervent prayer. Well, no surprise, but God answered Daniel's prayers. Look again at verse 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. So God showed him the vision. He showed him what Nebuchadnezzar's dream was and what it meant. And what was his immediate response to getting an answer to his prayer? The Bible says he blessed the God of heaven. So when the bottom fell out for Daniel, he responded in fervent prayer. And when the bottom fell out for Daniel, he responded in faithful praise. You say, Pastor, it was really easy for Daniel to praise the Lord. God had given him everything he wanted, and he didn't have to pray very long to get it. Well, not so fast, my friend. God showed Daniel the vision, and without getting too much into it, it was not good news for King Nebuchadnezzar and the people of Babylon. It meant that their golden empire was soon coming to an end, and that one day God himself would come from heaven, and he would ground all the little kingdoms of this world into dust, and God would rule over them all. So Daniel's life was on the line before, but now he's got to go into the king's palace and tell him this thing is all coming to an end, and it's coming to an end pretty soon. If he was in a dangerous situation before, he's in a much more dangerous situation now. And yet, in the middle of his problem, Daniel praises. It's not that God's taken the burden from off his shoulders, so he blesses the Lord. No, the burden's gotten heavier on his shoulders, and he decides to bless the Lord anyhow. I think of Paul and Silas at the midnight hour. I think of Jeremiah in the pit. I think of David in the cave of Adullam. Our circumstances do not dictate our praise, because our circumstances do not change the God we praise. And if the bottom is falling out of your life, there are still plenty of reasons to rejoice. You say, how can you be a praising person when you're going through a crisis? Well, Daniel does three things in the prayer that we just read that we need to do, and we'll hit them quickly. First of all, Daniel prays God for a blessing in the present. Even though my problem got worse, God, I do rejoice that you did answer my prayer. You revealed deep and secret things to me. Where there was darkness, you gave me light. So I bless your name. Folks, have you recognized this tendency in your life? When you're going through a serious problem, you get tunnel vision. And you eat and drink and breathe and sleep that problem. And it's all you can focus on. And we so focus on one or two problems in our lives that we fail to see the hundreds of blessings that God has poured out on us, even in the present, even while we're going through the problem. How many of you would say today, I have my share of problems, but I tell you what, God's been good to me. Amen. So when we go through crisis, we need to expand our vision of our present situation and think about the blessings that God has put in the here and now. Yes, you have some problems, but you have so many more reasons to praise if you will just open your eyes and find them, right? Sure. So Daniel looked for a blessing in the present, and so should you. Secondly, Daniel looked for a blessing in the past. In verse 23, he says, I bless thee and thank thee, O God of my fathers. Now, time out. Who are Daniel's fathers? Well, he's talking here about the patriarchs, the fathers of the Jewish faith, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. So even as Daniel's praising the Lord, he looks back through history and he says, God, you've been faithful to all those who came before me. All those men had their own crises. They had their own problems. You brought them through. And because you were faithful to them, I know you'll be faithful to me. Because you did it in the past, I know you can do it now. He drew present strength from past situations. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is God's past faithfulness that strengthens your faith today. I don't know about you, but there have been plenty of times in my life I was feeling sorry about my situation. And I opened up my Bible and I read about what Joseph went through, or what Daniel went through, or what the Lord Jesus went through in his life. And by the time that devotion was over, my problem was a lot smaller and my God was a lot bigger. Amen. And I opened my Bible and found reasons to bless the Lord. I'm going to tell you, if you'll just open your Bible and get in God's word, your problem will get smaller, your God will get bigger, and you'll find strength to face whatever you're facing today and reasons to rejoice. Amen. Daniel praised God for his blessings in the past and in the present. But notice this, he praised God for a blessing in the future. That's what the vision was all about. Daniel's biggest problem, of course, was Nebuchadnezzar. But he praised the Lord because in this vision he learned that it is God who sets up kings, and God knows how to put down kings. And one day he saw the Rock of Ages was going to come from heaven and crush all those little kingdoms, and he was going to set up his own kingdom. In other words, Daniel found reason to rejoice because he looked at what God was going to do in the future. Let me tell you this, it is impossible to be a praising person if you're not living with the end in view. What does Dr. Barber say every week as he opens our Sunday morning worship service? Keep looking up. Jesus is coming soon. Amen. He doesn't say that just because it's an amen line. He says that because that's where all of us need to lift our eyes if we're going to praise like we should. Amen. We come into church beaten down with our problems, living in a world with so much mess and struggle. We have our own problems in life. And so it's tough when we come in on Sunday mornings to really praise the Lord when the bottom has fallen out. So Dr. Barber wisely reminds us that all of our problems and all of our difficulties will one day be solved when Jesus returns again. And it'll be worth it all when we see him. In other words, folks, the best way to cheer up is to look up. As bad as things may be, the bottom never really falls out of God's plan for your life. And your present is bearable because your future is glorious. Amen. And Daniel could rejoice because of all that God was going to do in his life and in the lives of his people. So when the bottom is falling out of your life, purpose. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to think of something good that he's put in my life right now. I'm going to go back to my past or to the past of the scriptures, and I'm going to think of something that God has done for them or me. Then I'm going to think of all the good God is yet to do for me, because he is just getting started with my life, and I can praise him for it. I love what Charles Spurgeon said about praise. He said, when a person prays without thanksgiving, he has clipped the wings of prayer so that it cannot rise. We ought not to leap in prayer and limp in praise. The bottom may be falling out, but have you praised the Lord today? What do you do when the worst happens? Well, you fall on God in fervent prayer. You purpose in your heart, I'm going to offer him faithful praise for what he's doing, for what he's done, for all that he will do. And the Bible says that that combination of prayer and praise will lift your eyes from your problem and put them squarely on your problem solver. And that's where they need to be when the bottom falls out. That's what happened to the broken soldier with PTSD. The man learned that God often uses brokenness to break through. The man rededicated his life to Christ. He committed himself to counseling and discipleship. He learned how to study God's word, and he learned how to pray. And God poured out grace and healing all over his life. And last year, I had the opportunity to officiate his wedding to a wonderful Christian woman. And that man would tell you God is really good at fixing broken lives. He's really good at working when the bottom falls out. It took a few years for the man who broke his back, but that moment was the beginning of a journey back to God. The Lord prospered him and gave him a new profession. And now that man is in seminary preparing to preach the gospel. Amen. Get this. For both men, it turns out that when the bottom fell out of their lives weren't falling apart. They were falling into place. And that is God's promise for every person who will bring his brokenness to God. He said, and we know that all things work together for good to them who love God and who are called according to his purpose. I promise you today, if your life has fallen apart and the bottom has fallen out, you can bring God your broken life and leave here today with the assurance that he will work it for your good and his glory. Let's pray today. Father, I thank you for this passage that allows us to put our sandals into the feet of a man who went through a crisis moment in his life. We've all gone through moments like that. Some are going through those moments at this very hour. And how we needed the reminders of your word about the resources that are available to us when the worst happens. Oh, God, help us to respond like Daniel did in fervent prayer. And maybe for some people here today, prayer wasn't their first response. Maybe they did turn to some things in this world. But I know, God, it could be their next response. And I pray that even today they would come and bring their burdens to you. Lord, when we're going through trials, it is our human nature to get down in the mouth and angry and bitter and depressed and discouraged. Oh, God, help us to be people who praise you no matter what is happening in our lives, because our problem has not changed who you are. This is what you call all of us to do when the bottom falls out of our lives. And may it be so. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I tell you today that God invites every broken person to bring their brokenness to him. We are all broken by sin, the Bible says. And sin has broken our relationship with God, separated us from him in life. And if we don't do something about it, it will separate us from him in eternity. I tell you today that God loves you. And he doesn't want you to live your life without him. And he doesn't want you to live life separated from him. And he especially doesn't want you to die and go to hell. That's why Jesus came. He came into a broken world. He took all of our sin and sorrow and suffering, all of our brokenness upon himself, so that he might give us in exchange his perfect relationship with God and his eternal home in heaven. I tell you today, sometimes the bottom falls out of our life so we can see our need for a Savior and we can come to know Christ. And if you're here today and you have never trusted Christ as Lord and Savior, that's the decision I implore you to make today, to say no to your sin and yes to Jesus Christ, to trust him as Lord and Savior today. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, how many of you would say, I'm not sure my sins have ever been dealt with. I'm not sure I've ever confessed Christ as Lord and Savior. I'm not sure if I were to die today that I'd go straight to heaven. Pastor Gillett, would you please pray for me? No one but me and God is looking. Would you just be honest enough to admit, I'm just not sure about it today? If that's you, would you lift your hand and let me pray for you? I'm not sure that I've ever put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I can't look back to a time and place in my life. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I'd like to be. Pastor, would you please pray for me? If you raised your hand, I'm going to pray for you here in just a moment. In just a moment, we will stand to our feet and have a time of invitation. We invite you to leave your seat and come forward. There will be men here with men and ladies here with ladies, and we will show you from God's word how you can know for sure that your sins are forgiven and you are on your way to heaven. And if you've never done that, that's the most important thing you could do today. And I pray you'll come. With all my heart, I pray you'll come. How many of you would be honest enough to say, Pastor, I know I'm saved, but to be honest, the bottom has fallen out of my life, and I want to respond the way that Daniel did. If that's you, would you lift your hand with mine? Looking around the church, I know so many who are in a crisis moment. Why don't you make the decision today? Yes, the bottom's falling out, but I'm going to bring it to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to praise the Lord anyhow, enduring through and until it's over. God bless you. How many of you would say, you know, I'm going through a relatively peaceful time in my life, but to be honest, I've been too slow to praise the Lord. And boy, if Daniel could praise with all that he was going through, how much more should I have a heart full of praise to God? If that's you, would you lift your hand with mine? God bless you. Father, we pray that you would work in this time of invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.